Welcome back to Word on the Hills with me, Felicity Sibnall-Reed, my co-host Gwyn Sheltimer, and our guest this week, Nathalie Lachance, teacher and author of En Français, Sarah. You teach your students Québécois French, Nathalie. At one time, school French always seemed to be French. Why do you teach Québécois, and what are the differences between our form of the language and that spoken in France?
It's funny because a lot of people are asking me that. I don't teach Quebecois. I teach Canadian French. So people seem to, they don't know the difference between Quebec French, Canadian French, and Parisian French. So sometimes people will ask me, are you teaching Parisian French? And I'm thinking, I'm not from Paris. How am I supposed to teach Parisian French? It's the same as if you're in Canada, you want to take an English course, and you go, do you teach English, Canadian English, or London English? It's like, you're not going to teach England English because we're not in England, right? So are you going to teach the term flat or the term apartment when you're here? You're going to say apartment because we don't use the term flat here. So it's exactly the same. I'm going to teach words that we use in Canada. Now, Quebec French is more like argot in France. I don't know if you're familiar, but mm-hmm. they have their mm-hmm. street language. And yes. and nobody teaches that, right? So, like, nobody teaches Quebec slang street language because that's not really proper, okay? But I do have a Quebec accent, and I can't get away from that. So I'm going to teach the way that I'm talking in... But you know what? French is French. On paper, everybody, we all understand each other on paper. It's just a different accent. And, you know, wherever you go, you're going to get a different accent. And mm-hmm. nobody's better than anybody else. It's just different.
So in Quebec schools, they are teaching Canadian French,
yeah, French,
right?
just regular French. We yeah. learn the same verbs as they do exactly. in France. We just don't use the same words. Like, for, you know, just for example, mittens. And in here in Canada, we say mitaine. You go to France, they call them moufle. Well, I'm aware of that, yet I don't use that word because right. that's not what we use here. But, yeah.
So you've used Quebec French. No, you've used Canadian French
yes.
in the book as well.
That's right.
If somebody picked up the book in France, mm-hmm. would they recognize it as being Canadian French?
From a few words, yes. And I did put a few French expressions from Quebec that we use just for fun. Because you know what? People, they think that because they're taking a French lesson or a French course, that then when they listen, they're going to understand what's going on. It's not the same. What's on paper and the way that people are talking is completely
right.
different.
Oh, yes.
And I tried to teach them the difference. Like, this is what you see on paper, but this is what you're going to hear. And they go, oh, my God, that's why I don't understand. Yeah, exactly, because there's a big difference.
Yeah.
So it's all about, I do agree that in France they pronounce everything, but I don't know if you know, but Quebec French is actually Old French.
Mm-hmm.
So it's old from like the 1600s. Way back they used to talk like that, and it's only when we stopped having contact with French from France that they, for some reason, changed their way of talking, and we stuck with it, with the old way. So really, it's not that bad.
So your Facebook group has over 25,000 members.
We're almost at 27,000.
Are you? It's amazing. Yeah. How did you come to set that up, and how does it work?
Well, I set it up originally for my own students on the base, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to make files for when I teach Module 1, and I'm going to put all sorts of links of stuff to help them if they want extra practice, for example, to learn their numbers or learn the alphabet, whatever. So I made a file and all that. And now, after a while, I started putting an advertisement about my group. I joined all the French group on Facebook.
Yeah.
And I started putting little ads here and there. Come and join us. You know, I'm a teacher, a French teacher in Canada. And I noticed that in all the different other groups, they don't really teach. They just put a picture and say, what do you think? Or they ask questions. Or it's like mostly have a good day, and there's really nothing that you can learn from. Uh-huh. So I thought I'm gonna make mine different. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna make it so that you can actually learn. It's not like a course, but the stuff that I put on there, you're learning from it. So
right. Well, it's got a little depth, hasn't it?
Yes.
Because you put up a paragraph or so each day, is it?
Oh, I put 100 posts maybe a day. It's a
do you really?
Oh, yeah, I do.
Haven't been keeping up with
it. Yeah. I post a lot, and that's what people like, is because some people, I have a lot of members that are from North Africa and actually all over the world, and some people can't afford to take a French course.
Right.
And so with the group, they like it because I answer them. I spend a lot of time on Facebook.
Yeah.
But I answer their questions. I get private questions. I try to answer everybody because I know that some people, that's all they have.
Yeah.
So I try to help them the best I can.
Well, it's a really interesting way to contact and teach people, I think.
So
it seems to be very successful because I notice how many people you have responding to what you, and some of them are trying very hard and will write than one sentence.
That's right. Yes. Yes. And then they're asking, "Am I all right, madame?"
Yes. No. I love your posts.
Thank you.
So, has having the group helped you with marketing en français, Sarah?
I thought it would. But unfortunately, like I said, most people in the a lot of people in the group are from Morocco, Algeria, Tunisia, and they have no way. I didn't know when I started advertising the book, but they have no way of buying anything online. They have no credit card, and their money is not changeable into any kind of money, other money.
Yes.
So there is absolutely no way. No way. You can't. They can't even go to Western Union. They can't. They can receive money. They cannot send.
Ah.
So I thought, okay, that's the way we're going to go. If they want to buy the book, they can send me money through Western Union.
Yeah.
Nope. They can receive. They can't send. So all of those people that do have my book right now, what they did is through the intermediate of a French person from France. Like if they have friends, they have them buy the book. I send the book to France, and when that person comes back to those countries, they bring the book with them. That's how difficult it is.
Oh.
That's the only way that so far that we found.
Yes.
So it's very frustrating.
Well, yes, it's frustrating, but on the other hand, you've sold it all over the place.
I did.
I think it's been quite a success in that way.
Yeah, I wish I could sell more. They're all saying, I'm going to go to the library and get, well, it's not at the library. Like, it's only here.
So tell us, have you got any tips for other people who are selling marketing their self-published books?
Oof. You need a lot of money.
Yes.
It's very costly. And you just have to do what you love, and if that's what you want to do and publish, you do it. But you have to do a lot of work by yourself,
mm-hmm.
as in, you know, like contact newspapers and go to the stores and ask if they'll sell you your book. And it's a lot of work. But I mean, if that's what you want, and you do it.
I know. Well, how about reading us some more from En Français, Sarah?
Sure. Okay, so it's just Sarah getting ready. She's filling out a form for Laval University, and she thinks she knows enough not to need help. But then when she gets the question, explain to us in a few words why you would like to participate in the French immersion program, she goes, uh-oh. Because address, name, that was fine. She was okay. She understood everything. And then all of a sudden, this came up. So she called her friend Jennifer, who has been in French immersion for a long time. And she helps her a little bit to write.
Mm-hmm. So. I like that idea of using the sort of everyday story to teach people French.
Yeah, and I try to put in the book a lot of the lessons that I teach to adults, like how to fill out a form and how to ask for directions. I include that in the book without making a lesson out of it, but so that you can sort of review those little lessons in the book without knowing it.
I think that kind of narrative appeals to adults too.
Yeah.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
They like the reality of it.
That's right. Mm-hmm. C'est quoi le problème, Sarah? Peux-tu m'aider à remplir cette demande pour mon cours à l'Université Laval? J'ai une bonne base en français, mais je veux être certaine que tout est correct. Pas de problème, mon ami. OK, voyons voir. Pourquoi désirez-vous participer à notre programme d'immersion cet été? Tu pourrais dire, j'aimerais participer à votre programme d'immersion parce que j'étudie pour être avocate et peut-être aussi pour devenir politicienne. Et je pense qu'il est important de s'exprimer dans les deux langues pour pouvoir communiquer avec tout le monde. Le Canada est un pays bilingue et je voudrais bien l'être aussi. Qu'en penses-tu? Je n'aurais pas pu faire mieux. Merci, Jen. De rien, Sarah. As-tu besoin d'aide pour autre chose? Non, merci. Je pense que je peux remplir le reste du formulaire moi-même. Elle finit de remplir le formulaire sans trop de problèmes en cherchant quelques mots dans le dictionnaire. Elle met le formulaire dans l'enveloppe et y colle un timbre. Elle prend sa bicyclette et va poster sa demande. À son retour, sa mère l'attend et lui dit « Tu sais, je suis fière que tu partes pour Québec pour étudier le français pendant 4 mois. Les langues sont un grand atout dans la vie. Bravo, ma chérie. » Madame Picard sait que sa fille va réussir. Elle est intelligente, entêtée, elle lui dit très souvent qu'elle a une tête de cochon, et aussi très organisée. Les 4 mois à Québec vont très bien se passer, elle n'en a aucun doute. Sa fille est aussi très sportive, et même si elle n'est pas très grande, elle a toujours réussi grâce à sa détermination. Sarah a les cheveux blonds comme sa mère et a hérité des yeux bleus de son père.
Thank you so very much, Natalie, for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Now, Andy, for telling us how we can improve our French by joining her French group on Facebook. So where can listeners buy your book?
Well, it's on sale at Chapters in Belleville.
Yes.
It's also on eBay Canada.
Oh.
And I also have a page on Facebook that's called En Français Sarah, and the link for eBay is on the page there, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You don't have it on Amazon?
Not yet. I have to figure Amazon out because I'm familiar with eBay, but not yet. I was told by my book designer to try to sell as many paper copies first,
yes,
and then maybe put the electronic version on Amazon.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. I will do that eventually, but I'm going to try to sell as many copies as I can first.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
I hope you get lots of buyers.
I do too.
To connect with us, please send us comments, queries or suggestions for whom we might interview in future programs to our website, www.wordonthehills.com. All these programs are archived there and available to listeners at any time. We would love to hear from you. Thanks for tuning in. We hope you'll join us for another program next week.